Praise the Lord. Ain't it wonderful to be out again tonight? Amen. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads to Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are appreciative, Lord. Thank you so much for your blessings on us. Lord, allowing us to gather here tonight, Lord, and sing praises unto you, and Lord, to hear thy word. Lord, it's a privilege and an honor, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to bless each and every one that made the effort to be here tonight. And Lord, bless those that couldn't. And Lord, just have your perfect way in this service, and everything that's said and done be for your glory, your honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are Only Believe books, page 35. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despair. about His grace and His mercy. When nothing else could help. Just think where you was all at one point or another, we was all there. Amen. Page 703 in the same book. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Trust in Him. Grace to trust you more. Amen. Amen. Brother, Dad, could you come up and take the offering up? He's everything to me. Amen. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my Father, my Mother. Amen. He's everything to me. Each other, feel about him. Amen. He's everything to us. He's our friend. Amen. Who has a need on their heart tonight without raising their hand? We'll just keep it before him. Brother Jim, could you take off the request?
Heavenly Father, amen. We come to you again this evening asking you, if you would, Lord,
yes,
to be with all the unspoken requests.
Amen.
To be with those that have been spoken. You know the need upon every heart, especially even to ours. And so we ask you, if you would, Lord, that they would be in your perfect will.
Yes.
That they would be answered, Lord, according to your riches and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Anybody got a song or a course on their heart? Or special? Or anything? Amen. At all? Page 15. Amen.
When I think of how he came so far from love.
I may never know why he ever loved me so. Amen, saints. That's how I really feel. Amen. Thanks for his grace and his mercy. So we ask our pastor to come at this time. We'll sing our little chorus, "To Be Like Jesus." Amen.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Just bow our heads again for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, again, Father, it's truly a wonderful privilege to be here this evening and to gather in this little building, Lord, that you provided for us. And Father, that you would give us another opportunity to gather around your precious word. And I trust, Lord, as each day goes by, this word will be more precious in our heart than ever has been. That, Lord, seeing the time is drawing nigh and everything was to come to a finish, Lord, it's we're moving into it now and we see that it could be any day. We don't still know the day or the hour, but, Lord, we know it will be very soon. And I trust that you'll help us to be prepared for this great hour, this great event, this great catching away, a time, Lord, where people have spoke about it for hundreds of years since the first time. But Lord Jesus, may we take this very serious. And may your moving of the Holy Spirit move in our hearts in such a way that it'll push aside everything and anything that would be a distraction. That, Lord, you could have your preeminence in our hearts and our lives above everything. We pray now that you'll speak to our hearts through the word and help us each one to receive our portion for tonight. And again, we'll make sure you get all the glory and the praise for it. We're not worthy of any of it, Lord. You're worthy of all of it. We ask in your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I love him. I know you do too. That's why you're here. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew in the fourth chapter. And let's read a few verses here that the prophet read in a message in harvest time. Now, it's kind of, you know, Thursday evening is kind of one of the things, some things you don't want to bring because it seems like there's so many of them missing. So I'm trusting that we'll be able to catch these things when more is here that we want to bring. But for this evening, we're going to speak out of this message, the harvest time. And the prophet read this scripture and expounded on many things. And many things he said in this message is probably to the carnal, it would be very hard and rough things, you know, kind of ruffle the feathers. But to me, I love it. Amen. It's just so glorious. But let's begin to read here the first verse, a fourth chapter book of Matthew. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. But Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. May the Lord bless through his word, and you may be seated. Amen. So we read a very familiar scripture, and, you know, and oftentimes, you know, this scripture is quoted many, many times in men ministering the word of God, and many times the prophet bringing forth the word and so forth. And still yet, I wonder really how, could I say real, alive, quickened it is to us as individuals before the Lord. Again, we know we're serving God as individuals. And just how this and what it means to me, really, to live by every word that proceeds the mouth of God. You know, we've spoke on it ourselves many, many times and read many, many times what the prophet has said and spoke on these things. But I just, as I said, I was meditating about this in my room this afternoon and thinking about it. And for the last couple of weeks, this little message, harvest time, is just, I can't seem to just leave it lay. I just keep going back to it, you know. It's just one of the ones you pick up and you think, well, you put it away, and something about it just draws you right back to it, you know. And I thought, well, maybe tonight we'll just read a few things out of it and speak about it. But when you think about harvest, you know, no, actually there's some harvesting going on now on different types of fruits and vegetables, but we kind of think more of harvest as far as the, like crops of corn and beans and so forth, more as it gets into late September, sometimes even 1st of October and so forth. And we realize that the crop has come to its time of finished maturing so that it can be taken off and then put in reserve for the winter and time of use and so forth. But in other words, as I said, the crop has come to its full maturity. And now it's come to a time that we could use it. And, you know, it's of value, and it's done its with its growing, you know, quick growing. And now it's to the time, it came to the time that all the moisture is being dried out from the hot fall sun and late summer sun, where it just seems like the heat is so sometimes intense from the sun. And it may be shorter yet in that time of year, but yet it just seems like when it's hitting you, it's just burning right through you, you know. So it went through that, and now the greenness is all taken out, the moisture is gone, and now it can be harvested and taken off. And I want you to think about that, because the prophet, when he brought this message, he said, I don't know why, but I'm titling this message Harvest Time. He said, my subject is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I've spoken on that a lot lately myself, you know, just renewing our minds back to it and stirring your pure minds to the way of remembrance. And yet I still wonder if we really can catch with what's going on and what's taking place, knowing it's getting close to the appearing of the Lord. And I'm sure we all know that for sure. And like I say, it may go on another 5 years or so. I don't know. We don't know. But we just know it's a lot closer now than it was 5 years ago. That's for sure. And then when we get to thinking of how quickly time is passing by, you know, it just seems like, you know, before you know it, a day is over with. And before you know it, a week's over with. And I kind of noticed, you know, at the shop today, the men were talking about, and, you know, it's hard to believe it's August already. You know, and it seemed like summer's just getting started and it's coming to an end already, you know. Just time flying, you know. And I, as I thought of these things, I thought, look how quick another month can go. I mean, it just seemed like July was just gone, you know. And I'm sure we'll say the same thing about August. It'll be here and it's gone, you know. And then we think about years. You know, it just seemed like it was no time. It was the first of the year. And then it's getting close down to the last three quarters of the year already, you know. You think, where is time going? And then you think back, you know, a few years ago, you think, you know, I was sitting in school, and we used to talk about, and we used to have science books and different things and show different things in science books, you know, think, the year 2020, how it's going to be, space age, this, that, and the other, you know, cars flying through the air and everything. And look, it's almost been 20 years since 2020, you know? You think, where is time going? So if time is moving that quickly and that speedily and passing by, just think, if the Lord would tarry just 5 more years, how quick that is going to go by. It's going to be so fast. I mean, it's, and sometimes we, you know, of course, we heard the old saying years ago when you was that high, you know, and hear the old folks saying, the older you get, the faster time goes, you know. And maybe it has something to do with it. I don't know. I don't know how it would. But anyhow, I just know one thing, too. The Lord Jesus said, unless he would shorten the days, the very elect would not be saved. If he wouldn't shorten the days. So how many more days we have left, I don't know. But I just know it's going fast. And I wonder, how are we as an individual before God grasping what the Holy Spirit is wanting out of our lives as these individuals? As a people that has heard the truth of the hour, they have recognized a prophet of the age, vindicated prophet that came and brought the message that was to be brought. Malachi 4, Revelation, Luke, all these different things that was spoken of that would come of that prophet. What he would bring, that voice. What are we doing with it? With what time we have left? And yet it seems like we get in a rut that we're just going to live forever. You know? I'm just going to live forever and I'm just going to keep living. And we know Brother Branham said, keep playing taters. Absolutely. You got to work. You got to do these things. I mean, that's just, we got to do it. You just don't sit back and just quit everything. And I'm just going to wait on the bearing of the Lord. No. Keep planting taters. Absolutely. But don't let a tater eat you up. Make sure you eat the tater. You see? That's the way with anything in life. Don't let it eat you up. But tear it up. You know? And if it gets in the road and it ain't God's way of doing it, tear it up and throw it away, you know. But you make sure the Holy Spirit has control And you have life under your thumb, under your leadership, that you control what goes those cares of life every day. Because God has fortified you with the word to control that and bring it under your submission, that it won't tear you away from the kingdom of God. But you will seek first the kingdom of God, always, and not let anything distract you. I often think about Paul, you know, he was talking about a wife and so forth, and then he ends it up in saying, attend upon the Lord without distraction. But I like to think about anything would try to be a distraction. May we always, as individuals, attend upon the Lord without distractions. But we are sent here in this hour to live by every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. We are sent here for that purpose. And I want you to think of what he's saying here, and he says, I don't know why I'm titling this Harvest Time. But I want you to think about this harvest time that we're in, where the hot sun is bearing down and it's taking all the greenness out of us. You know? Anything that isn't like that original seed, it's got to go. It's got to be dried out and taken out of us, you see. So again, it will be Christ living and on display in these tabernacles of flesh, you see. So let's think about some of these things as we go along here. And I'll first read this, something he said here on page 15. He says here, let us go to Scripture to find out again and back up in the Scripture till we get to our main text. In the garden, God gave his first family the Word of God to live by, every word of it. I'll skip through a few things because it'll take me too long if I don't. The first family that was put up here on earth was given eternal life as long. Now, what was they given? He says it for a reason. They was given eternal life as long. As long. Can't seem to stress it enough. As long. Okay? As they stayed with God's word. Okay? That was his plan. Now, did his plan change? It didn't change. No. And still, the ones that's going to have eternal life or have eternal life are those that's going to stay with that word. But remember, there's a lot of distractions. There's just all kinds of, you know, I like to try to make it bring to attention of, instead of saying ministers, I'll say insects. There's pests. There's all kinds of pests and insects, vipers around that will try to take something away in the Word that'll try to draw our attention to try to get us to leave something in God's Word. There's all kinds of pests around. I mean, there's vipers slithering everywhere, you know. And there's got to be a lot of them. Can't just use one viper to go around and get the little bride here and there. There's got to be a lot of vipers around to try to distract and take something away that what God said, he meant just what he said, but yet try to take the value of it away and become less important. I want you to think. That was his plan. I am God, he says. He says, I change not. And he says that's still his plan. It's never his plan for a creed. Don't you remember that? It's never his plan for a creed. There's a lot of people got a lot of creeds. A lot of people do. Or organization or man-made rules. That is not God's plan at all. None. It's not God's plan for a minister to get up here and try to make you do things. And have rules, regulations to try to make you do things and try to make you live a life because controlling you by putting on restriction or trying to do this, that, and the other, or saying you've got to sit there all by yourself and nobody's going to talk to you and all this, that, and the other. There's places in the Scripture for different things that happens. But not to control people and try to make them Christians. You cannot, Brother Branham said, you cannot make Christians by governments. Okay? Laws. Rules. You can't make Christians by that. No. It's or man-made rules that man shall live by, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, to go back in Genesis, which is the beginning, Genesis means the beginning, we find that God gave his family eternal life as long as they stayed in the Word and lived by this Word. But when they broke it, just one link in the chain of promises, death struck them. Now, we all can read the Scripture, and we all have, I'm sure, and have read the Scripture, what Eve did, and the chain broke by one word. Did it not? Is God different today? Now, we speak about these things and we bring back to our attention different things as we get up and minister. And we talk about maybe a woman's place or maybe the way we dress or maybe we talk or speech or different things and the laws of the land, whatever it may be. We renew our minds back to the Word of God. But like I was talking earlier last week now, the thing of it is, how do we feel about each one of those words? What do we think about each one of those words? What is our thought toward that certain word? Okay? Now, there's got to be a reason. There's got to have something, there's got to be something taking place in an individual when they have heard that word, okay, and they don't do it. Now, there's got to be something happening there. There's got to be a problem there in order for a person to hear a word, knowing it's between death and life, and yet it doesn't seem to have any appeal to it, to desire to keep that word. It just, you know, it's a word. It's a, so what? You know? Okay? See, death struck them, which was a promise also. It's a chain. You're hanging over hell with it, and that's the only thing that'll carry you through. When the believer becomes a make-believer and lives on one word, that's contrary to this word, he cuts his fellowship with God. One word. Not 10, not 5, not 2. It just takes one. Okay? Now, the thing of it is, what if we're in a position? Maybe we don't study like we should. Maybe we don't pray like we should. Maybe we don't read the Word of God. Maybe we don't listen to the messages like we should. Maybe we don't show up to church half the time, all these different things. And there happens to be a word that isn't registering. There happens to be a word that just isn't there. It is just isn't in my heart to do. There's just something about maybe it's a word that comes forth and it doesn't strike any reality to it. In other words, it doesn't have any importance to it. Maybe I happen to be dull of hearing. Yeah. Maybe the Word of God came forth and my natural ears even heard it. But it couldn't be finished processed by the Holy Spirit in the heart. So I continue on just breaking that word. One word. One word. I'm telling you, saints, we'll be a people that pray. We read. We study the Word. We cry out to God. We cry out for revelation more than anything else in this life. Because regardless how nice a people we may be, might be a nice little people tucked away in the hills, might seem like we have the truth, but all it takes is one word. And the chain is broke. And your fellowship's cut with God. Yeah. One link broke. And you know, when I read these things, I think about things like Brother Pitts was talking about Brother Smith, George Smith. In places he goes and seeing the things he says and or sees and things. I think, my. That's just one man going to this place or this place, that place. What do you think God sees? When he can see the whole thing. man putting their interpretations, their ideas, and putting this into it and taking this away from it, and the people living like this, and women dressing where men lust after them in their own congregations, and men being lustful, and just all kinds of just filth going on. Acting like the world with their nose glued to their phone and can't even hardly walk without it there, you know? It's just, what does God see? What does God see? If our nose would be glued to a Bible or one of these messages or something, as much as our nose is glued to a phone, look how much better we'd be. My. And remember, your faith in this word is like a chain. A chain is its strongest as its weakest link. Friends, I don't know how many of you use chains. I've used a lot of chains over my years. And I'm telling you, friends, you can look at a chain and it may look fine. But oftentimes if you examine that chain really close, maybe it had way too much stress on it before or sometime or another. And if you'll see the metal in that link, it'll have stress marks in it. You better watch out on the next load you try to pull, because it can break. It's become weak. It's become metal fatigued. It has become to a point to where the strength isn't there. And it may take just the right trial and test, but not staying fortified with the word. And keep them links in the right condition they need to be in when the load hits it to be able to hold. And sometimes we let our links get stressed out, become metal fatigued because of not enough prayer, not enough studying the Word of God. Too many cares of life just keep choking and strangling in, too many things to do. Yeah. And by no means do I say for a purpose, a person just sit down and do nothing? Nah. God didn't intend it to be that way. No, He didn't. But while you are doing things that's necessary, or things that maybe you enjoy doing or something, where's your heart? Where's your thoughts? What you thinking about? What is your real first love? Is there first love burning there that'll keep those links strong? Because somewhere along the line, there's going to be a strong, heavy load come. Are you going to be able to pull it? Is it going to hold up? Because remember, once that link, link breaks, to hell you go. One link. You're dangling over hell by one link in that chain. What are you doing with your links? How strong are you keeping them? Are you letting them get metal fatigued? Not taking care of it? Huh? Are you just going to let it get metal fatigued? You're just going to let it get trial tested fatigued and not study the Word of God, not pray, not cry out to God? Not Him be your first love. And then there's going to be a time a link's going to break. And once you start following, it's too late. You're dangling over hell by one link, one word. Now what if I so happen to be so carried away in things of this life? As I said, that I don't recognize that one word. I'm going to depend on the preacher to tell me all of it. What if he don't get to it? You better work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. You better work it out. Make sure every link, it's just right. Make sure. Some people think that's all they got to do is just come to church and that's all they need in life. You need prayer. You need reading, studying the Word. You need listening to the Word. Yes, you don't need just come to church. Yes, we need to come. But you need more than that. Because your devil, the adversary, he goes where there ain't no church service. Yeah. He'll try to get you at your least time of expecting him, the same thing he did Eve. He caught Eve off guard. It wasn't when the Lord Jesus was walking by in the cool of the evening. No. It was when she was off all by herself. Yeah. And she listened. God doesn't mean that. He means, if you do this, you'll be as wise as God is. You'll know both good and evil. Well, I'd sure like to be more like God. Who in this message wouldn't want to be more like God? But where are you going to be when your adversary strikes? What are you going to be doing? What is your mind, your thoughts going to be tied up with? What are you going to be doing? Oh my. Listen, friends. The Holy Spirit's warning you. If you can only listen.
Amen.
See? He says here, it's the strongest because that's all it'll hold. And if there is something in that word that's puzzling to you, maybe there's still something just a little puzzling to you. Something that you have heard different. Something you've heard different, and maybe you just don't have the whole picture of it. Do you realize the devil's going to strike on that? Yeah. Yep. It's an opportunity for him. Because then the old reasoning's open. Ready to swallow anything that comes along. Be careful, don't swallow the wrong thing. Well, something's just a little bit puzzling to you yet. They say, that was for the apostles and them things for days gone by. When the scripture said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't let that be a weakness. No, don't let it be a weakness when something's puzzling to you. If something's puzzling to you, keep praying, crying out for revelation. And don't knock off and leave off until you get there. Yeah. If it's a little bit puzzling. Careful, your adversary will try to strike because it's just a little bit of weak place. Yeah. He said, fortify it and hold to it. You see? And wrap your life into it. Oh my. Because that's the only thing that'll take you over the flames of hell. One word puzzling to you. One thing you're not sure of. You may not fully understand certain things, but you stay in that word as much as you can and don't listen to nothing but that word. Yeah. Not some smooth talker. No. You listen to that word. Only that word. Okay. And if it's from God, he'll reveal it to you. And then if it's a revelation, it'll just go boom, 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 stay in continuity all the way around. You see? When this chain is broke, with Adam, he said, when this chain is broke, that's how he says it, with Adam and Eve, the first family. Now remember, they didn't break a sentence. They didn't break three words. It was one. Man shall hang over hell by every word. Hang over hell by every word? Yes. That's why we must stay fortified under every word. Not just part of it. Every word. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, that's where man's eternal destination is determined. Why, he'll hang by that chain, or he'll hang by a creed. Or if there is a creed mixed in to the chain. Wow. There is where the weak link is. What? If there's a creed mixed in anywhere, there's a weak link. There's a link you can look at that you'll see those stress marks in it. It's just about ready to pop. And maybe the next load is put under. It's going to break. And in hell you go. You see? He said, and you're gone. That's where the weak link was. And Adam with Eve, he said, the weak link was, surely, he said. Haven't you heard smooth-talking preachers do that before? Surely, he said. You do this, and you'll make it in. Yeah. You do what I say, and you'll make it in. Now, like Brother Branham said in church, you do what the Word said, and you'll make it in. Yeah. Yeah. But surely God said it. Oh, my. Just look at the things in the Word that, if just a little bit of creed's mixed into it, oh, look out. Just a little bit, not a lot. Not something that's real noticeable. No, it can't make it too noticeable because then you'll catch it. It has to be just so close it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. That's close. Really close. And if God said it, God meant it. And he also keeps his word by saying, the day you eat thereof is the day you'll die. The day you put into you anything else besides the unadulterated word of God in your soul, that's the day you are separated from God. My, look at the people that is separated from God. That's terrible. He said, now this is very strong, but just listen close. Now notice one word of the first of the Bible, God said that one word separated man from its eternal life chain. That's like taking a man and hanging him by his feet. He's got his hands in heaven, and you cut him half in two, break off a toe, whatever you're hanging on to. You're hanging on the very bottom part. And you break that chain anywhere, you're gone. He says again, now bear that in mind. He's stressing this to us. Remember his message. He said, I don't know why, but I'm titling this Harvest Time. Growing's done. Oh my. And now it's time to be harvested. I'm going to tell you, friends, we're getting close to the end. Yes. And of all this word we keep hearing for years and years, and all this growing and growing and growing, there has to be a place to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ and the unity of the faith. Full maturity. You see? I'll hurry up here. I about had you a half hour already. I'd like to take this whole book and just go through it like this. I love it. Remember, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We'll get on that in a few minutes, on the three temptations of Jesus, three temptations of ministers today, where they make the fall, three temptations of the church, and where they make their fall, three temptations of an organization, where they make their fall. Now, it all runs in threes, like justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. Justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, and Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Everything is perfected in threes. Now notice, God in the beginning, the very first thing he gave his children to live by was his word. What did he give us to live by? Same for us, isn't it? By his word. And we just don't have what we call word. We have got the word, the Son of Man. Yes. Prophet sent a messenger and brought forth the mysteries of this day. Oh my. That all the loose ends would be taken care of. Now we've got the fullness of it. My, no questions asked. Yeah. Now we find that is the truth. Then in the middle of the Bible, we hear Jesus come and say that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then in Revelation 22:18, Jesus himself speaking again said, I testify of these things. If any man shall add one word to this, or take one word of this book out, his part will be taken from the book of life. Now see, it's not our good living. Now, somebody said, okay, let's stop there. No, he didn't stop there. That just is something that goes with it. Yeah. It isn't our church loyalty, but that goes with it, he says. The main thing is staying with that word. Don't eat. What's eat mean? Partake. Bring into. Okay? Don't eat nothing else but the word. What are you trying to eat? Is there somebody in our midst trying to eat something that you shouldn't be eating? Huh? Be careful, you might eat something, you'll get really sick. And sick unto death. Yeah. He says, stay with it. He is that word. Now we want to watch close now. Adam had his choice. I'll try to close here. Just give me just a couple more minutes. Is that okay? I ain't been quite a half hour yet. Adam had his choice, the word and live, or disbelieve one word and die. We have the same choice. You know, like I was using an illustration, I believe it was last Sunday, maybe Sunday before, about the minister come to my home in the message. And his wife came with him, and she sat in my living room. And knowing what that prophet said, yeah, about clothing, knowing what Scripture says. And knowing what Scripture says, the knee is the gate. Oh, to death. Now, and had to keep pulling down and just talking works out. And pull it down and keep talking. Pulls it and pull it down. And to top it off, it had the man's pockets on it. Blue jean. Was something taken away? Was something added to? Now, this is my opinion. That man shouldn't be allowed behind a pulpit. If he can't even bring his own wife under subjection, how can he bring a church where it needs to be? Huh? And of course, her way she was talking, she was the head. By all means, she was the head. She was the corrector. She was the know-all. She was everything to that man. She squeaks, he ran. You see? Now that's just one example of what we got going on with such a grand, beautiful message God gave us. And people adding to, taking away, this, that, and all this other nonsense. And yet he's sitting there in the chair trying to talk about all these mysteries and how great they are and all this and the other. What good are those mysteries to him if he can't even get that? You see? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If that was me sitting there and my wife doing that, I'd tell her, so go get some clothes on and dress right, or you'll never go with me again. Yeah. That's me. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be identified with that filth. No. But he evidently enjoyed it. We have the same choice. That man has a choice. He does. He's got a choice to believe the word or disbelieve it. Like many people in this message have, they have that choice to believe or disbelieve it. You know? And saints, I don't mean to be sound like I'm running people down. I'm using them for examples. If I wanted to run them down, I'd give you his name. I'm not doing that. I'm using it for an example of what's going on all over the land. Yeah. We have the same choice because we have to be. We have to have. If God put Adam on the Word, and the Word only, then he puts us on a creed or any kind of a creed, then God is unjust in his judgment. But he didn't put us on a creed. No. He put us on the Word. Okay? It isn't becoming his holiness nor his sovereignty, but it is becoming to his sovereignty to see that he puts every man on the same base. And I'm going to tell you, saints, everybody that's following this message, you know, the denominations, organizations, that's up to them what they do. We know where they're at. But people that's following this message all have the same opportunities you and I have. The same prophets' books to read, same messages to listen to. Yeah. And we all have a choice. To disbelieve or to believe it. To me, there is no excuse. No. There's just not seed. How can non-seed see the Word? How can non-seed believe the Word? It can't happen, friends. Didn't Jesus himself say, "Oh, depart from, I've prophesied my name"? Brother Branham said, "Spoke in tongues. The mighty signs, wonders, and miracles." That was actually just a little bit further on in Matthew 6 chapter. "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." They knew to do good and did it not. Their choice was to disbelieve, not to believe. You see? Now granted, if you're predestinated seed, God makes sure your choice will be to believe. You can't help it. It's what God placed inside of you. Okay? We could go on further than that. We won't for this evening. In closing, won't you sisters come up, please, the instruments. He is God and changes not. What God does first, he forever does the same thing. He never changes his program. Only thing, he magnifies it. But he never changes it. Same thing continues on. You see, he used to, Brother Bannon spoke about it many times, back in the time of Moses, they actually literally caught them in an act and they literally stoned them to death. Okay? But now, you don't have to be caught in no act. You don't have to touch a woman. You just look at her and lust. Ah. And you're done. Yeah. You're done. Yeah. Unless put into the blood immediately, and it's overcome. But still, you lust, friends. That's all it takes. You don't have to commit no act. It was just magnified. Look at the things God has magnified. Amen. Oh, really magnified. We could go on and on with that. He forever does the same thing. See, he magnifies it. But he never changes it. Same thing continues on. Now, Adam had a choice. And if he held to the Word, he lived. If he didn't hold to the Word, he died. And we've got the same thing. We stay with the Word, we live. Man shall live by every word, he says. But if we don't, we die. He says, we spiritually die. You may not drop off dead physically. No. But you spiritually die in this day, friends. All of a sudden, maybe you thought, under sanctification, you just clean yourself up, getting yourself right, and you thought, oh my, I want to do this for God, and I want to do that. But you come to a point, anything you had, you lose. And you don't even have no more desire now. None. serve God. None. Now you don't care. Now you hear a word come forth and, oh, I'll do this, but I ain't doing that. I think the preacher's fanatic. I think he's crazy. I'll do what I want to do. Yeah. Well, do what you want to do. Oh, we can still make noise, sure, and kick around, holler, and carry on. Ain't you seen people do that? My. I've seen brothers in this message and scream, holler, kick around, preach like angels, you know, and just can't keep from taking away from the Word. Just can't keep from adding to it. But scream, kick, go out of country, pray for the sick, be healed. Oh my, they're having a good old time. Yeah. But one of these days, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. Oh my. Kick around, holler, carry on. He said, that ain't living. That ain't living. He repeats, that isn't living. He said, I'm a missionary. I've heard heathens kick around the hollow more than we could and profess to know gods and things like that. They're not living. He said, they're dead while they live. Yeah. The Bible said so. See, we find that this choice is given to us. It's given to us, friends. But he compromised. Talking about Adam, he compromised to Satan's one word and then died. And if the beginning which God in his grace and mercy could have bypassed all the suffering that we've done, all these deaths, little babies and everything, wars, internals, crucifixions and things that we've had, if he could have bypassed it, his sovereignty of his word would have permitted him to bypass it. He would have been unjust if he didn't bypass it then. Do you get it now? He said he can't bypass it. He never bypassed it for Adam to begin with, and he won't bypass it for you or I. No. We must come to that thing. The word only. Let every man's word be a lie, and mine be true, he said. Hallelujah. Every man's word be a lie, but mine be true. Jesus said. I'm not talking about me, what I say. Jesus said. Let every man's word be a lie. But mine be true. Amen. Now, I don't know why I'm on these things tonight. I don't know. Maybe you're about to be tested tomorrow. Maybe you've been tested this week. Maybe you'll be tested next week. I don't know. But one thing about it for sure, God knows already. And maybe he sees somebody needs a little bit of fortifying to stay with that word. Regardless how slick and smooth somebody can present it. Stay with that word. Regardless. Might be a close friend. Might be a relative. Might be mother or dad. Might be a brother or sister. Natural. Might be a child. It might be aunt or uncle. Yeah. But stay with that word, friends. Oh, my. Amen. Trust this little portion has been a little help to you tonight. Amen. Make you think more, pray more, consecrate more, maybe even fast once in a while, you know. But may we cry out to God for revelation more than anything else in this life. It is the most important thing. Amen. Let us all stand. We're in his presence, are we not? Absolutely. Let's sing a little chorus before we leave. In the presence of Jehovah. Amen. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty. Yes. Peace. Trouble. hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Sing it one more time. In the of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles banish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Hallelujah. With our heads bowed. Precious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so very much for this little opportunity we've had tonight to again gather around your precious word, and trusting that somehow, some way, by the work of your Holy Spirit, that you'll take something in this little message tonight and place it in each one of our hearts. Father, we would yield greater to you, surrender our lives, and be able to recognize the tactics of the enemy, knowing that, Lord Jesus, it may not be right here in this building, and while we're at service, things maybe happen or take place. But, Lord, maybe when we walk out the door and start our journey for tomorrow, if you should tarry, or the next day, maybe something will begin to transpire and Satan will begin to move into it and try to trap us. Because it's his goal. He has the same goal in mind today as he did yesterday when he gained access into Eve's heart, into her life, and caused her to bring or break the word of God. And his goal and desire is today to do the same thing, to try to keep you from having a spotless and virtuous little bride. A little wife, Lord, that will be true to you. And oh, Father, sometimes we lose the true vision of a real wife, a real woman, because of the civilization we have to live in today. But Lord Jesus, help us to recognize what a true wife is, and true sincerity, and Lord, a true love for the husband. Help us, Lord, to understand. So this words tonight, again, we pray that it'll find good ground and it'll be able to bring forth a good fruit. Bless us, Lord. Again, we ask that you watch over us and keep us safe and on the highways and wherever we go, and bring us back again, Lord, next time, if you should tarry. Because, Lord, we know it's getting close, but we don't know the day or the hour, as we said earlier, but we know it's getting close. But, Father, we cherish these times you give us together. We appreciate it. I enjoy it. I know, Lord, I'm just so thankful for it. And I pray, Lord, in this little place that you would keep every man creed and theory and ideas completely away. But Lord, help us to stay pure in your word, the pure, unadulterated word, that everything would be just right for you, Lord, that we'd be a good wife to you. Bless us now. We thank you again for all things. In your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. I love him. Let's sing a little chorus as we leave. I love him. Amen. I love him. I us my salvation on Calvary's tree. You're dismissed. God bless you. Amen.